SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From the studios in Margate and ready for your Florida Derby card to be drawn later today. It just so happens that I was awake for some reason at 1 o'clock. And next thing I knew, I was watching the Dubai draw. And I think we're a little lucky. I think we're lucky that the draw isn't still going. They had a procedure that was absolutely torturous. It's one thing when you bring the connections up to pick a stall, where you're going to go in the gate. This was the most convoluted. They had these ornate helmets, and then you opened up the helmet like it was Who Wants to Be a not millionaire. What was the thing with Howie Mandel and the suitcases? Whatever that show was, they opened the thing up, and there's the horse. And so now the connection, Deal or No Deal, exactly. So it was gate or no gate. The connections then went up to a video screen. And they signed their name or the horse's name. Antonio Sano signed Venezuela. And then that that did something else. That triggered. I don't know. It was the craziest thing. And then Scott Hazelton had to basically ask the same question of every single connection. You happy with your post? How'd the horse ship over? Everything good? How was dinner? It was unbelievable. They went through 8 races or so in 10 minutes, banged right through them. It was great. And then it was like an hour to put 13 horses lined up in the gate for the World Cup. And the just looking, let's get to that, because I was basically sending out the pictures of each draw page, the video screen, and we'll start with the World Cup real quick and just hit a couple of highlights on this. We got lots to do today. Should be fun. And, of course, later, 2 o'clock, the Fasig-Tipton Gulfstream sale. Looking forward to getting over there. And the weather's a little iffy. It hadn't even occurred to me that could end up being an issue. Case, what's your read on, of course, it's Allendale, and, you know, which is 15 miles away, and around here, last night there was a rainstorm in Pompano from the racetrack to the ocean. I don't think it rained anywhere else. It's very strange. The World Cup, and we'll start with the American interests. We expect to talk to Todd Pletcher later. Audible drew very well, drew the four hole. Gunavera came at a point where Sano had to either go inside or go outside. And, you know, since Gunavera is going to have to rally anyway, you might as well save all the ground from the first jump. So Gunavera chooses to run in the one. The defending winner from a year ago, Thunder Snow, who, you know, the way the race spilled out of the gate, ended up alone on the lead. And, you know, this has been a notorious, you know, this card, particularly, notorious for speed favoring, and Thunder Snow ended up drawing the 12, so keep that in mind. I don't know. Vince Aurore did not seem, he seemed kind of nonchalant about it, and Thunder Snow did win from the 10 last year, except that, you know, the other speed missed the break, so don't think that's happening twice in a row. So Gunavera from the rail, Capizano from the two, North America, who certainly is going to garner attention from the three-hole audible, Seeking the Soul. Mr. Fipke on hand with Dallas Stewart, and another trip for them to Dubai, and Seeking the Soul should get a nice trip from the five. Pavel, I think, had maybe the second. Leandro Mora went up for Doug O'Neill and Mr. Redham. They took the six. You had Gronkowski and Axelrod, the Phoenix runners. They ended up next to each other in the seven and eight. Gronkowski and, of course, Axelrod, the former Michael McCarthy trainee. New trails from the nine hole. Yoshida, the other American interest. And Riley Mott was there to do the honors from the 10 hole. KT Brave, the Japanese, and we'll talk about Almond Eye in a minute and her Dubai turf try. But KT Brave from the 11, I told you about Thunder Snow, and then the Korean runner Dolkang draws widest of all. And so your field of 13 for the World Cup on Saturday, early afternoon, and it's really become a tradition. All the fun starts typically about 9:30. I don't know if you want to be on hand for the Arabian race. I think it's been the last two, or they've shoved it in the middle sometimes. There's an Arabian event, but that was your feature draw. I mentioned Almond Eye, and in a lot of ways, she's the star attraction for this thing. That's going to be one of the real highlights. The Japanese Triple Crown winning filly taking on the world here, and draws exactly midfield, the 7 of 13. And you got horses really from all over the place, including Hong Kong, Southern Legend, and Vivlos from Japan, Deidre from Japan, the older mare. And how about Without Parole for the Gunthers? Draws the 12 in here in the Dubai Turf, the 1,800-meter event. You had, of course, the sprint, and we got to look at the Golden Shaheen, which has been dominated by Americans really forever. And the craziest thing about the reveal, because this was when they were shotgunning, going boom, 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 right through the horses, and four straight, and this was also an interesting thing. The sponsor of the race, whoever the advertiser is that's grafted their name on to the race, they would come up and say thank you, and we're happy to be doing it, Longines, and there's always a car dealer and whatever. And they would sign, and that would trigger the auto draw. And that was cool. But then everything ground to a halt. It was like a snowmobile. If you've ever seen it, snowmobile making the transition from the snow to the dirt, and it just grinds to a halt. The field for the Golden Shaheen: Roy H, Imperial Hint, XY Jet, and Promises Fulfilled, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. The four of them lined up together, so a bit of a compromising draw for Roy H, being down inside, and certainly, I suppose, he'll get a little clearance when Imperial Hint lights out and XY Jet, and we'll see. We'll see how Roy H and Promises Fulfilled deal with things from there, but that's going to get hot early. And speaking of Americans that drew inside, Stormy Liberal, Stablemate, draws the one hole for the Alquaz Sprint, and might not be as much of a compromise in the sprint. Stormy Liberal draws inside. There's a lot of good and well-known international sprinters in here. Blue Point, who's been campaigning at the Winter Carnival. Caribou Club making the trip. And how about, of course, Belvoir Bay draws the 7. Caribou in the 9. Blue Point the 8, etc. Sands of Mali, we've seen plenty of. Lost Treasure. And you'll see the names, and there's quite a few that you've seen here, whether it's been this event or whether it's been the major racing in the UK, etc. How about the Godolphin Mile? There's one, and Todd just sent me a note, so we'll see what time Todd's going to be ready to talk, because he also has got, in addition to Audible, Colefront. Colefront drew the 12 in the mile, and True Timber drew the 3. So the two North American runners in the Godolphin Mile, seemingly okay in those spots. Haven't looked at that field really too closely. And then the other one you're going to want to know about is the 5th, which is your UAE Derby, or Darby, as they like to call it. And they ended up with 3 American interests. The McPeak did not end up entering. In fact, there were a couple of late names that weren't on the draw sheet from 3-4 days ago. When they did the pre-entry process, there were a couple of horses that then did not show up in the entry box, and Greco was one of them from McPeak. However, Plus Que Parfait from the 4 draws very well and may have a real say-so in this. Gray Magician for Peter Miller and Eclipse, the 8. Stubbins, the other Doug O'Neill hopeful, draws the 12. And then a couple of, there's a couple that you may have seen and remembered from last year, their 2-year-old season, like Van Beethoven, the Canadian bred for Coolmore. And who else is notable that we may have seen? There's quite a few American bred runners overall throughout that field. So there's your top line for Saturday morning and early afternoon's Dubai World Cup, and should be a lot of fun. That was perfect, okay? As we got that in, let me hit you with a couple of pieces of news, one of which we're going to address very directly in this hour. And Blaine Wright, who has enough to deal with, of course, with another twist of fate. Another twist of fate is at Sunland for now, because there's a herpes virus outbreak at Golden Gate. Golden Gate is on lockdown. No horses in, no horses out. So another twist of fate, not returning immediately to San Francisco. And it happens to be the horse that got sick and died happens to have been one of Blaine Wright's horses. Now, the horse that got sick was in a different barn, was never exposed to another twist of fate. I don't sense that that's, I'm not seeing that part of the story. But that horse was never exposed and was gone down to New Mexico 5 days ahead of that horse getting sick. So Blaine is in contact with all the relevant authorities and veterinarian and California State Services. They're also monitoring with 30 points. They're hopeful. They expect to get in. I think they will get in with the 30. I think 30 is going to be okay. And of course, we still don't know about slots 19 and 20, the Japan horse. I haven't heard anything, or the UK slots that Churchill allots. We'll see if they get utilized, which squeezes the field. But meanwhile, we're going to talk to Blaine Wright, and looking forward to it. Very excited for him and for this horse. We kept, ever since the El Camino, it just felt like he was going to be fun to watch and monitor. And by all rights, a horse like this that showed that he's okay on dirt, let's invoke the John Asher corollary that horses that are turfy and synthetic-y, if they're going to run big on a dirt surface, Churchill eligible for that because of the clay content and the way a horse's hooves hit there. This horse, he's the mystery horse. Deal or no deal. Another twist of fate is in one of those briefcases, one of those attaches. And it may be the one. Looking forward to talking to Blaine. Pete Fornatel is back. We're going to talk to Pete about his trip. Sid Fernando, of course. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. John Secura has arrived in town, and they're excited about that curling hip 173 this afternoon. We might talk to John if he's got a few minutes. We've got, what else? I got all kinds of stuff to do, but right now let's take this first break. Series 219, XM 201, Sports Zone, with SteveBick.com at the races, midweek. Back after this, Pete Fornatel.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
3-8-4-6-4-3. Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
We're back at the races. We mentioned B.B. Brown yesterday for Shark in the Water. Did you see the picture I put up? I stole it off of Brittany Ertin's feed, but when Peter Ertin was on the other day, there's a hysterical picture. He talked about going out around the city and being in New Orleans for the first time in years, back to when he was an exercise rider. And did you see the picture of him on one of those flatboats with the baby alligator? It was great. He's holding a baby alligator and clearly got a kick out of it. And I made me laugh, so I put that picture up. I was surprised nobody commented on it. Did you see the thing? It's down here, right? Did you see the picture with the alligator and the crocodile? They say it's very, really unusual. There's a picture of I don't know if the croc has got his head resting on the alligator's tail or vice versa, but they said it's a rare sighting of the two prehistoric creatures in the same place. I'm not a paleontologist or what Pete Fornatel with us. Pete, what is the study of? Do you have a study of what are
study
they?
Study of reptiles.
Reptiles.
Donna probably knows this. I've been to more zoos than racetracks in the last 3 months, but I'm not sure about that one. I'll have to put a pin in it and come back to it.
Well, speaking of putting pins in, you put a pin in one of those ambitious concepts. Talk about your trip.
Oh, it was great. It was really fabulous. Had a chance to be on the channel, as I call it, Sky Sports Racing. I did 3 weekends in a row covering the American stuff, very challenging and fun. On there, you know, in my typical work, I'm looking at one track. I suffer to do two in real life, and there I'm doing every race from every track from four tracks for 4 hours, and having to be able to discuss it in some level of detail. So it's really challenging and fun, and the team over there is great. Work with so many good folks. My man Kieran O'Sullivan, Darrell Williams is so great. John Blance, who folks might know from Hong Kong, who's doing a lot of work for Sky now and doing some commentating around. I'm leaving guys out, and they don't deserve to be. Anthony Ennis. It's a great team and really fun to be on there. And I look forward to doing another stint in June, perhaps bracketing, working on their Royal Ascot feed as well. Potentially, we'll see where they want me. They may want me in the West London studio at night doing the American stuff. We'll have to figure it out. But I've really been enjoying the TV stuff and got a lot of nice comments from folks about it, so that's very gratifying. And then, of course, in the middle of all that, Cheltenham, where that Thursday was really one of the great days of racing I've ever seen. The Frodon Briony Frost win, just so amazing, just such a gutty performance, and the best post-race interview I've ever seen. She was so great, so charming, such a wonderful face of the sport. And Paisley Park and that amazing story. To have those two races in an hour was just fantastic, and I love Cheltenham so much. I'm hoping that I can continue to keep that as a mainstay of my racing calendar. And like I said last time I was on, Steve, folks, everybody now I think knows, if you're a USA Racing fan, that Royal Ascot should be on the bucket list, but I'll cast a vote for Cheltenham as well. It is such an experience, and it's racing as sport in a way that we just don't get to see here. It's just culturally different and really amazing and fun for a USA fan to see. I highly recommend checking it out.
Well, and of course, there's any number of particularly jump fans that make it an annual trip. Steve Anderson of the Daily Racing Forum goes twice a year.
Absolutely.
And he just, I mean, he will not miss it.
I missed him this year. Very disappointing. We usually try to get a session in drinking at the Plow in Prestbury, but he was, what happens to people sometimes when you get over there, you sort of get into your routine, into your vortex, especially if you're not staying in town, because like otherwise, when your ride leaves, you gotta go. So there are people who I'll see for a minute during the day, but, you know, they turn into a pumpkin very fast to try to beat the traffic the minute they hit the line in the last. So Sean Clancy, who first introduced me to Cheltenham, I mean, I think I saw him for all of about 7 seconds the last two Cheltenhams. And it's disappointing. I want to figure out a way to hang out with him more. And Steve, another guy who is just always fun to see there. But it's nice to see there's a small band of us Americans making it a regular trip. And then, of course, all the folks, the tens of thousands who make the journey every year across the Irish Sea, that makes for a very fun atmosphere as well.
Well, and in addition to those responsibilities, the fundraising effort, the half marathon, talk about how that went.
I had such a great time. Thank you to everybody. A lot of At the Races listeners stepped up and participated and donated to my two causes, Make-A-Wish UK and also the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. In fact, the TRF link to give is still up and active. You can give at trfinc.org/players to make a contribution to all their fine efforts. I ran the London Half Marathon. I couldn't have gotten luckier in terms of the weather. It was slower than I thought it might be. I had a little contest for folks to guess the time, and this is what happens when you hang out with racing fans, Steve. I had a three-way dead heat because my time finished very close to 2:24. Do you immediately get the significance of that number?
Mile and a half.
Secretariat Belmont.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say. That's
three
exactly.
People guessed Secretariat Belmont. Now I've got to pay them all out, Steve. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have sped up or slowed down when I got to the end. I've got quite a roster. And an impressive roster of people. You know them all, actually. Funny enough, and a lot of them are listeners to this show. Paul Matisse, Marshall Graham, and Jim Sebus are the three winners. So I'll be putting together prize packages for them. For Paul's prize, I think we're going to do a big cookout in Saratoga. We'll make sure you're on the invite list to that one. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. But thanks not just to those guys, but to everybody who contributed to a great cause. I actually recorded about 5 minutes of audio from the run. If folks want to check it out, that's on the latest edition of the In the Money Players podcast. You can find that inthemoneypodcast.com. I think it's about 10 minutes in. You hear a few minutes of me running and talking from the road. I think it came out pretty well. It's a fun document and something pretty cool to have. It was just a great time, Steve. Thanks for asking about it.
How much did you raise?
We raised, between the two causes, for Make-A-Wish UK, it was close to £1,500, and I think it was very similar in dollars so far for
nice. TRF. Nice, that's great. So, that's
yeah,
great.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. And, you know, the efforts are going to be ongoing, going to have a few different promotions coming up, especially for TRF, but I'm also now, it went well enough. Part of the reason I didn't run faster is I was running it within the back of my mind to try to, like, do it in a level enough way to see if there might be a marathon in my future. It felt good enough that the current plan is to push ahead to New York. And if I do New York in November, there'll be more chances to guess times and donate and more money to be raised. So that could be a lot of fun. We'll see if my body agrees. But I felt pretty good. I mean, 2 days after, and I feel like I could go running today pretty easy. So I think it's going to work.
Nice. Well, the only, I guess the only hiccup is going to be that's usually Breeders' Cup weekend.
Oh, you didn't even think of that.
Right? That's the big...
You're absolutely right.
Always been one of the problems about bringing the Breeders' Cup back to New York. One of the issues is the logistics of the New York City Marathon.
It could be done, right? If I were to fly back Saturday night... All right, I'll look into it. I don't love the idea of getting off a red eye and running the New York City Marathon, but I might just be crazy enough to do it. Or there are a host of others in the fall, too. So I'll figure out a way to make it work.
Well, I the minute you said that, you said you're ready for New York, I thought, he's got a problem.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but my brain is already working with some potential outs here.
Well, I saw a couple of notes from you here and there the last couple of days, and on the contest front, one of the popular early season venue stops there at Hawthorne this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and this one always packs them in. Canterbury is got a feeder, and so does Monmouth, actually. What else did you come up with? I saw where you're doing something for Naira Betts for the website.
Indeed, that's for the Wood Memorial Challenge is coming up next Saturday. And we talked about this a bit. The numbers just went through the roof for NYRA with the addition of online play in their Gotham Challenge. So with more participation comes a lot more money. So I believe for the Wood Contest, you're going to have a chance to have a prize pool of over $50,000 for a $400 entry fee. That's pretty cool. Obviously, if you're playing online, you're playing through NYRA bets. You also have the option of going out to the Big A and participating. Personally, I'm going to be at Keeneland that day, but I'll be following the events back at NYRA with great interest. And I have a piece that's about to go up about Mitch Schumann, who I'm sure you've encountered, Steve, over the years, part of the Sherman Wolfson crew who always sit together at the NHC, and Mitch, an NHC Players Committee member and just such a devoted fan of contests, really known for getting the most out of he doesn't put a lot of money into contests. He plays very strategically and lets it come to him, but still manages to qualify for the NHC every year. I mean, he's qualified 14 times now with limited outlay, had some good results there. Another guy who's a poker player, too, and has had some success in poker tournaments. I'd been remiss in not talking to him. I talked to him a lot in life prior to this, but this was the first time we ever sit down and did an interview. That's going to be up soon on the NYRA website. I'll be sending that around when we have it and encouraging folks to sign up for that Wood Memorial Challenge for sure.
Well, also just poking around here and looking at what went on the weekend, and to be honest, lost a little, kind of lost track somewhat the last 2 weeks with the situation that we dealt with here. But we'll catch up and we'll see how everybody made out. And in fact, World Series, right? When.
That's probably coming up. That's got to be this weekend. Same as it conflicts with Hawthorne, unfortunately. So players have to make that tough decision as to whether to go for the live bank situation in Chicago or to head out to the desert. I know, obviously, that's we joke that those Orleans contests are typically the Matisse family reunion. We'll be seeing a lot of that crew out there. Hawthorne's going to be really interesting, too, this year, in addition to the Friday contest, and I think there's a Sunday contest that they normally do. They're doing that invitational again on Saturday that'll have a TV element. Speaking from experience, once you've done a TV show once, they're going to have a lot of ideas on how to present that and make an even better go at it the second time around. I'm curious to see that. There's some interesting veterans who will be participating in that, as well as some new faces. Scott Coles, the NHC champion, I know, planning on making an appearance in that invitational tournament as well. So we'll get hopefully be able to get a full report out of Chicago. And last year I wrote about Jim Benes, who won that in the midst of one of his great runs. And we'll see who comes away with the title this year. And the Horse Player World Series, obviously, having so much competition now, that's going to probably take some little bit of a dent out of it. But you're still talking about a big check to the winner, and that should be an excellent contest story and somebody worth seeking out, Steve, for both your show and also for the In the Money Players podcast. So we should have some really big results and interesting news coming up. And then don't forget the Keeneland contest right after that. That'll be the second weekend of Keeneland, the week after the Wood Contest. They'll have the two events out at Keeneland. Jim Goodman always does such a great job. Those events just get more and more popular every year, basically selling to capacity. If you're interested in playing at Keeneland, you want to make sure to reach out to the folks there and secure your spot, because you won't necessarily be able to just walk up on the Sunday and participate in that one.
You know, also, speaking of contest results, and we didn't talk last week, and so I didn't get a chance to comment on or provide the final results of the 4-gate 7 that will go down in contest history, and they all proved that they didn't have to just pick one number and pray. No, they handicapped that card. And Kevin Kilroy, congratulations to Kevin and the top five, because there was no added financial portion other than qualifying. But Kevin Kilroy, Jerry Stone, Gerald Siegel, Ken McMahon. That's a familiar name. Ken McMahon, absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah, big tournament veteran.
He you and bet.
His wife Jeannie King dance all the dances.
And Mike Lamorte, congratulations to them. And really for, and also I want to mention Joe Green and Nick Bristow because they were good sports and they're going to get some contest credits. But there also was the, you know, the decision about how to approach this. You know, this situation going forward, and you know, Pete, I kind of came to the conclusion somewhere along the line that it, no matter what was going to happen on either end of this, not every contest player was going to be happy. But I don't know how you were going to come up with a response that was going to be 100% perfect to everybody's satisfaction.
My father taught me long ago, Steve, you can please some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. And that's something that's very true in the contest world. I, for one, applaud the decision to take these free contest formats and make them reward, in my mind, skill a lot more than luck by making it a two-stage situation where you have to finish in the top 10%. And then you move on to the contest where the top finishers get the prize. To me, it's just a better way of doing it. It also, the other brilliant part of it to me is it reduces the amount of tour points that are going to be coming out of the free events, which to me is the correct thing. Contests where you put up money, those should be worth more than a big free contest. So as they've done in many areas, excellent job by the players committee at the NHC, Chris Laramie, Mitch Schumann among them, for seeing a flaw in something and finding a way to make it better. And just to piggyback what you were saying about the 4-gate 7, big claps to Kevin Kilroy, who I interviewed a few In the Money podcasts ago and was just such a good sport and passionate racing fan and really spoke very well about not just that situation, but racing fandom. He's the kind of customer I think racing should take a long look at, a analytical mind, a family man, somebody who has a lot of the attributes that we want to promote, that our sport, you know, it's great that we have such a wide breadth and depth of horse players, but here's somebody who I just know there are more of out there if we can get the word out about what's really going on in our sport in terms of the intellectual challenge and the relationship with the animals, et cetera, et cetera. Hashtag I am horse racing.
Well, I was watching that Saturday watching the leaderboard and I knew it would be a good story no matter how it shook out. So we had to acknowledge everybody, and are we still on for everything? Still good for a Oaklawn powwow, right?
Absolutely, all set. I'm going to be guest lecturing at Marshall Graham's class on that Thursday, hitching a ride down to Hot Springs with him, reconvening with my friends, the Burkett clan down there, staying at the lake, hopefully trying to get to DeLuca's, doing all that fun stuff, and really looking forward to getting to enjoy this year's Arkansas Derby. And one final note on the 4-gate 7. I've said this before, but I just want to put the idea out there in the world with the hope that it'll happen. I really love the idea that one of the two players that didn't make it is going to use that 500 and get to the NHC the old-fashioned way. Should that happen, should anybody see that happen, should either of those players be listening, please reach out to me if and when that happens. Mm-hmm. That's a story. That one I don't need anybody to pay me to write. I'll just write that one for free.
I love it. Well, Pete, you're headed to Broadway with Perrin?
Yes, we have spring break. The International School of Brooklyn has these sort of trimesters with 2 weeks off in between. This is one of them. We were in London last week, obviously. Did some zoos and some fun stuff over there. Today's big treat is heading into Broadway to catch The Lion King, which I've never seen, and she is just super excited about. So we'll be hopping on the old LIRR in a few minutes' time and rolling to the Great White Way.
Outstanding. Have a great time, and we will talk next week.
Thank you, my friend. A pleasure as always.
Pete Fornatel, Looms Boldly, and the In the Money podcast with Jonathan. And looking forward to another rendezvous with Pete in Hot Springs. And with added Andy Serling goodness. Andy is going to join us actually today, too, hour three. He was up at Saratoga. He's on his way back. And I probably will. I mentioned it yesterday when the word was circulating, but the industry very much welcomed the official naming of David O'Rourke yesterday as going from interim to full-fledged president and CEO of NYRA. And if you did not see the piece that Dave Greinke wrote, it had a quick hit because Dave is down here for Florida Derby Week. We'll talk to him tomorrow or Friday. But O'Rourke, you really sense... This was a timely, a timely transition, because, as I said at the moment when the whole Chris Kay departure came to light, what Chris Kay had come to New York to do, he accomplished, which was to extricate NYRA from the state's control. Dave O'Rourke, behind the scenes, had been really working to plan this next generation downstate with what's going to happen at Belmont. And so there's a real harmony to O'Rourke ascending to this job, because he's been doing all the strategic work anyway. So he also talked and he said, we've worked hard to, make it pleasant for people to come to the facilities and for the horse players and, the casual visitors. He more or less dedicated the opportunity talking to Dave about repairing the relationship with the horsemen and helping the horsemen, particularly when it comes to the labor issue and the unbelievable burden of the workman's comp that is strangling everybody of any size. Back after this, Blaine Wright.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices. Hours of work in minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio. Don't wait for promises, they can't be measured up in nothing. You weigh your heart too heavy. That's why you fumble when you walk. Yeah. If you want me to disappear, I'll make it worth it.
We're back at the races. 15 to the top of the hour. We've been interested in following another twist of fate and the conversations we've had with Blaine Wright. And even though didn't win the Sunland Derby, we'll talk to Todd Pletcher in hour three today. But there was really more to going to Sunland with another twist of fate than, you know, than needing to win or wanting to win. It was a return to dirt and more or less an audition for what could come down the road this spring. He passed it with flying colors. There's a couple of hurdles to deal with here subsequently. But first and foremost, let's congratulate Mr. Redekop and Blaine Wright and J.J. Hernandez. Well done.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Blaine, you know, how much of the trip were you confident that he was handling the dirt? Because there was a moment when it looked like, you know, maybe he was kind of backing out of it, or was it tactical? And then he came flying. Talk about going around.
Well, first and foremost, I'll say Juan rode the horse exactly how we wanted him to. We had told him if he gets caught in a speed duel with the three horse on the outside of him, initially wanted to lay on the hip of Baffert's horse the whole way and keep our eye where Johnny Velasquez was. But I told him that we thought the three horse could foul up a little bit. Should he roll on and come up to the outside of us, ease him back out of there and just wait on him. And that's what Juan did. We also noticed that the three horse was wearing a citation bit in the paddock, which normally means a horse has a hard time rating, running off a bit. So we kind of thought that he might be on the rank side, which I think the horse showed as soon as he turned down the backside. So I was pleased that my rider eased him back out of there off that fast pace. And I thought he sat behind horses beautifully, which I think the difference in the race where it was won and lost was about the half-mile pole when Johnny V rolled up to the outside of him and kept us in that pocket. The other horse was kind of in and out a little bit, and you could see that horse was trying to get ranked with La Violette, and we kind of got stuck down in that pocket, and he got the jump on us. And, you know, our horse got his momentum, stopped at the 5/16th pole for four jumps or whatever, and he bellied down and ran through it just like we knew he would. There was never a doubt in our mind that that horse wouldn't run on dirt. The first race was a throw out. You know, that's not that horse. That's not his style. We just kind of, you know, we had to take that race to get a race into him because we had an issue with a sore foot, and we didn't get to go in the turf race that we wanted to a week prior to that. So, you know, for us, he answered the question of rating. I thought he sat very, very comfortable back there, and, you know, we certainly wanted to see that. Trying to proceed forward.
It worked out beautifully because, of course, Mucho Gusto was even more aggressive, I think, than Baffert would have liked, and that opened up the rail for Juan, and it really was a carbon copy in a lot of ways of the race that John Court rode on Long Range Toddy in one of the Rebel divisions. It instantly reminded of that. So it's It's a great situation. You add another set of points, another 20 points, so you're up to 30. And we'll talk about, you know, some of the other elements of this, but let's bring everybody up to speed on what transpired over the last, 96 hours back in San Francisco at Golden Gate Fields. And there's a herpes scare, and it involved a horse of yours, sadly.
Sadly enough, it did. Let me just say one thing first. Another Twist of Fate was not in the same barn as this filly. He had not been exposed to her. Contrary to what's out on the internet and in articles, first and foremost, that horse is not under quarantine. And basically, we had a horse that never showed any symptoms. I watched her train Friday morning before I got on the flight. Everything was good. The next morning, she's down in her stall and couldn't get up. Eventually, we put her to sleep, and they swabbed her. It came back positive for EVH-1. And since then, she was removed from the stall on Saturday. And another Twist of Fate had left prior to that on Tuesday morning. He'd left. So he'd been gone 5 days before this ever happened, and she showed no initial signs. Yesterday, the state of California said a state vet from the Food and Drug Administration, Agricultural, she came to our barn. We've been going through protocol ever since then, disinfectant, monitoring temperatures. And I have horses in different barns at Golden Gate. I'm in three different barns. My main barn, which is where the filly that is deceased was located, is under quarantine for another 11 days, assuming everything is good. Those horses will be allowed to train at a different time than the general population. My other two barns that I have horses in, they are not under quarantine, and they're training with the population. And basically, that's where it sits right now.
And that's where another Twist of Fate had resided before he left for Sutherland, one of the other non-quarantine barns. So there never was a question that there was a concern about him at any point.
Not in my mind, no. And I think the vet, we took her to all three barns. We showed her what's going on. There's different grooms, different equipment. And so he should have never been exposed to anything. But we did take the precaution and disinfect the entire barn. Anything that she could have been in contact that would have been in contact with him or any other horse for that matter, not just him. So at this point, we're trying to roll on is business as usual and go from there and just try to get through it.
And no other horses that were in your and have been in your main barn, nobody else showing any symptoms?
Not at this time, no.
Well, that's good news. And you know, we've been through this any number of times, and it always seems to start right about now, right about late winter, early spring. And you know, then you got, you know, it's the time when 2-year-olds are moving into barns, and there's all kinds of potential for cross contamination. So you understand all the concerns, and certainly the lockdown, you know, makes perfect sense. Those are the protocols. Now though, let's go back and talk about Sunland and being in this position, what is your first inclination? Is to go back to Golden Gate or to potentially move to Churchill and train there?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're going to just hold tight for a bit at Summon. Our horse is going back to the track. He's in good shape. My assistant's there with him. You know, we're kind of in a holding pattern. So we had actually decided, you know, we wanted to come back to Golden Gate initially. However, the middle of the road on Derby points is stacking up, and they're all kind of right there, you know. So we might be on the bubble of getting in after this week's and next week's races. So we just figured, you know what, instead of going back to Golden Gate with the chance of their increasing the quarantine if something should go bad, we'll stay right there. We'll watch races, and if we get in and don't have to run for the Derby, that's ideal for us. But if we have to make another run, then we'll choose one of two or three races out there and go somewhere and try to get some more points to get in.
Well, and
that's the reason why we haven't run him. We've tried to space his weeks between, you know, like 5 weeks if we could, because we thought, you know, if we have to get an extra race in. At least we've got a horse that hasn't run a whole lot.
No, this would be, he ran January 4th after breaking the maiden in December, came back in the allowance win on January 4th, and then the El Camino was on February 16th, and this was March 24th. The spacing is good. I don't see where, I'm just looking at who's ahead of you. Right now you're sitting point-wise, I think 30, 30 has been the target number we always talk about. Mind Control is ahead of you, and it seems like Greg Sacco, it feels like Sacco's leaning toward turning him back. We'll know more next week. So that would take one out of the way. Country House is not going to run again. Omaha Beach is going to run. Game Winner is going to run. Heikel, Tacitus, Long Range Toddy, Code of Honor. There, so you got six horses ahead of you that basically you want to be first or second in their races when they when they run. And behind you are horses. Well, Sueno's not going to run again, I wouldn't think. Although DeSormo has run when the points are getting tight. Improbable, this horse is going to run. Haven't heard what Baffert wants to do about Mucho Gusto with 24. Bourbon War is running, of course, Saturday. Some Like It Hot Brown is going to run. He's got 20. Outshine is going to run. He's got 20. And then there's the rest of the pack. I think you should make hotel reservations for the Redicops and everybody.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, the main thing is our horse continues to do good. And, at a time where I'm supposed to be focusing in on the Derby, I kind of got through a curveball here. So I'm going to base at Golden Gate and wait this out and help my crew out and do everything we can here to make sure we stick to protocol and get through this tough time.
Well, the way in which this unfolded and the way he was finishing, it's got to just give you a great feeling about, another eighth of a mile. What's interesting about him is he's a scat daddy out of a first defense mare. And, it feels like he should be a middle distance type, but that's certainly not the way he finished. I mean, he finished like a horse that is going to relish another eighth of a mile.
Yeah, I think the horse will, that distance is going to hit him between the eyes. I think the way the horse trains, he trains like a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half horse does. It's been fascinating. I love to see the fact that even though during the race, we didn't win the race and we got beat a nose, but the fact that he got stopped and had to get that turn of foot going, a lot of times for a big horse, that's tough to do, but that horse laid down and he went for it, I won't be lying to you. I had to take a step back and take a deep breath and called my wife. And, she's like, I told her how disappointed I was that we didn't win. And she's like, you need to smile. And I probably needed to hear that from her because, as disappointed as it was to miss by a nose or a head or whatever it was, you can't fault the horse's effort. And we saw a lot of things that we haven't seen him do before. I kept telling everybody we still need some questions answered for us, and he certainly answered them for us.
Well, and of course he paired up figures in terms of buyer. He and Cutting essentially, took a track record to beat you.
And two Hall of Famers.
That's right. Running into Johnny and Todd Pledger. We'll talk to Todd in a little bit. And that horse, it just happened that I saw that horse break his maiden at Calder, and Todd was on with me not long thereafter, and I brought him up. He was just a maiden winner. I said, that horse won like a good horse wins, and he said, that he thought that there was talent there, and I suggested yesterday he's going to be a trivia question, probably, who was the last horse to run in the Derby that broke its maiden at Calder, and you're going to get another shot at him and another 18 horses, Blaine, and everybody's excited for you.
I appreciate it.
It's really cool, and I appreciate you clarifying everything. Those that are concerned about what transpired back at Golden Gate and with the herpes virus. We'll wait for the all clear for everybody else at Golden Gate, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Churchill.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Blaine Wright, everybody, and Mr. Redekop, who, you know, he's had good horses. This is going to be a huge thrill if everything works out from here. And this little hiccup from yesterday that emerged in the news yesterday afternoon, it doesn't look like it's going to derail another twist of fate going forward toward Derby. You just got to watch and see how the point battle shakes out. And in regards to the quick, as we go to the break, we're going to be joined by Sid Fernando. We'll let Sid talk about that pedigree. The point races, so you know where we stand. You've got, of course, Dubai on Saturday morning and the Florida Derby. These are all 100 points. Then the Wood, Bluegrass, and Santa Anita derbies the following Saturday. Then the Lexington. Lexington is 28-4-2. So if anybody wants to try to bolster their point standing. And the Arkansas Derby. 100-pointers. So, you know, basically you've got auto entry for six horses with 40 and 100. So it's a question of mixing and matching. Who's already got points that, you know, that are in good standing and good stead? And, you know, who's going to, you know, we've had our share of jump ups, like Cutting Humor. And Todd's, you know, Todd had the runner up as well. So, which we'll discuss. Louisiana Derby, spinoff. So, who else jumped up in recent weeks? Well, Tacitus, right? Tacitus, Long Range Toddy. Although Long Range Toddy was accruing points all along, you know, he had been running okay, and by my standards, with the 100. So it's about 50-50 actually, looking at it that way, of the 10 or so that are ahead of another twist of fate. And like I said, mind control probably is turning back. We're getting that vibe. Sid Fernando is going to join us next. He's up Daytona Beach or those environs with Joe. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.